It's back.
Number one, straight up, top of the list, no questions asked, Cora Staunton.
OTB's Mount Rushmore.
Look, Casey.
Yeah.
Are you going to get over Casey?
All this week on Off the Ball Breakfast.
Rugby Daily on Off the Ball.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to Monday's Rugby Daily with me, Anne-Marie Donlan. Coming up, DuPont to the fore as France end wait for Sevens glory, while one Italian flanker is forced to end his career at just 28. But first, we'll start with the Six Nations, which resumes this week, and Ireland take on England at Twickenham on Saturday evening. Andy Farrell's side go into the game top of the table and on course to win another Grand Slam. England then have two wins from their opening three games. Despite this, Ireland go into it overwhelming favourites. Alan Quinlan joined the lads on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning with the level that Steve Borthwick's side are at and how they seem to be safety first. He can only see one outcome in this weekend's game.
There's not a lot of time being put into attack, and they look like a team, you quote, that maybe run two or three strike plays during the week or rep it twice, and then when they come up against the opposition, it just falls apart. That's a fair assessment. And this isn't about, for English rugby fans, I've said this for a long time, I think the players England have had for a period of time now, they've been very bland in their attack. Eddie Jones, you know, was the master of kind of throwing grenades, particularly when himself and Joe Smith were head-to-head for a number of years. At one point, Eddie Jones was talking about Ireland kicked the most in the Six Nations. They're boring. You know, if I was Johnny Sexton's mother, I'd be concerned about him with the head knocks. He just, it was something every time. But England were really bland, and I think in their attack, but they were more forceful, aggressive, dominant, physically imposing, and it squeezed the life out of teams, and it would be effective. But we've seen a trend in the last couple of years where England, of course, they've scored some good tries here and there, but by and large, their attack is there's more focus on kicking well, squeezing the opposition, trying to be defensively strong. And, you know, you can look at the England-South Africa game at the World Cup semi-final, and when you're on commentary, I know what it's maybe it's different for people watching the game. It's a very simplistic approach, and it can work sometimes, and it does work.
Yeah.
And if you look back at the results, I think at the start of that World Cup, people were expecting Argentina would beat England in the opening game. England were unbelievably dominant. George Ford, did he get three or four drop goals in that game? They get a number of penalties.
Argentina were terrible, though, and couldn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, and to be fair, England had a newfound energy from, particularly from the warm-up games. They were pretty dreadful in those warm-up games. Fiji beat them, Ireland beat them, Wales beat them. They won one of the warm-ups. So going into that tournament, this isn't unfounded criticism that was coming towards them. But then when you watch them play, you know, they beat Japan 34-12. Again, I was doing commentary for that. A hard watch.
Yeah.
You know, particularly when, and I try and make the point that when England get into attacking positions where, you know, you're in the opposition half, maybe around the 10-yard line, between the 10-yard line and the 22, and at times they're programmed to put up box kicks, chip the ball in over, a lot of cross-field kicks, and again, sometimes they can work. But always the ambition, or always the first thing they go to is conservative approach.
Get rid of the ball, we don't want it.
Yeah, and the thing here is what's been coming out of the English camp, and it come out through Ben Youngs, but I've heard some of this stuff recently from other ex-internationals who were possibly hearing some little snippets. Now, it's very difficult to go with that, oh, such and such told me that this is the way they're training. The accuracy of that sometimes is not right.
Well,
hearing little rumours about
somebody outside the 23 sometimes? Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes it is, but you know, if you...
Well, what are you hearing?
If I bump into an English player and I say, well, you know, how are you going? Are you frustrated? Blah, 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 after the England-Scotland game, for example.
No, I'm delighted. I'm thrilled. We got humiliated on national television again.
You just know sometimes with their... I'm not saying that happened with me, but that's how it can happen sometimes.
Alan Quinlan speaking on Off The Ball Breakfast there. And to listen to that chat in full, become an Off The Ball member now. Meanwhile, England attack coach Richard Wigglesworth has admitted the side were not themselves against Scotland and they plan to make vast improvements as they prepare to take on Andy Farrell's men.
Not what we'd planned going up there, and I think errors that you make when you are challenging the defence and you are in the midst, you can take because you can get better on the back of when you look like when you're like you, when we're like England. But we didn't look like us, and we made those errors, and it actually became a bit safe and tense, and then made errors on the back of that.
This is a team in transition. You are trying new things, but to what extent do you restrain from the attacking intent with Ireland coming to Twickenham next?
We don't want to go backwards. We want to move forwards. It'd be great if the aim every week is to get better. Now, we didn't do that last weekend, but growth, improvements very rarely on a nice, smooth arc, and we're aiming to make sure, starting tomorrow in York, that trajectory is back up.
Do England fans need to be patient? Because a lot will say and think, well, how long do we have to wait before we see this new England team hitting the straps?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to tell the England fans how to feel. They quite rightly support us and turn up to stadiums in full voice, so they're allowed to feel however they want to. Just know there's an incredible amount of work going on to get the best results and performances we can.
England attack coach Richard Wigglesworth speaking there about the Six Nations game that's coming at the weekend. Elsewhere and away from that, sad news today as Italy flanker Jake Paledri has announced his retirement from the professional game at the age of just 28. That's after failing to recover completely from an injury. Paledri, who was born in England, qualified for Italy through his grandparents and played for them at under 20 level before making his senior debut in 2018. His career was hit by a devastating injury with Italy in 2020. He ruptured all three cruciate ligaments in his knee, tore his hamstring off the bone and tore his calf, which resulted in damage to the nerves and paralysis of his foot. He played for Gloucester at the time, but joined Zebre in 2023 and made his last appearance for Italy in last year's Six Nations when he came off the bench against England. Lastly then, to Anton Dupont, as he continued his amazing form over the weekend. He inspired France's Sevens to their first title in 19 years as they beat injury-hit Great Britain 21 points to no score in the final in Los Angeles, and he's targeting more success over the summer. The 27-year-old came off the bench to set up the final try. It was their first Sevens title since 2005. Dupont says the Olympic hosts can beat anyone, and he reiterated after that win that his intention is to win gold at those games in the summer. France's best finish in the sevens at the Olympics before was seventh in Rio back in 2016. And that's all for today's Rugby Daily. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Make sure to follow the Off The Ball Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming for free to you in your feeds.
Rugby Daily on Off The Ball.